Well, good evening. Welcome to those of you who braved the weather to come out tonight. Didn't think we'd have to do that on Maundy Thursday to dodge the snowflakes. Thank you for coming out. Thank you also to those of you who are watching via our live stream this evening. And, you know, we've gathered tonight to begin the most holy of weekends. That's why I love celebrating a Maundy Thursday service, because it begins the celebration, it begins this whole weekend. As we remember our Lord's last gathering with his disciples, his betrayal at the hands of one of his trusted disciples, his trial, his beating, crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection. Now, we like to jump straight to the last one, don't we? We like to jump straight to the resurrection. We don't like to focus on the others. But tonight, we gather to remember that last gathering and that betrayal. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of us as we remember and celebrate the feast of love prepared by our Lord. We're going to start this evening by singing together. And we're going to sing a couple of hymns. Oh, how he loves you and me into my Savior's love. Let's sing together. I would tell you what the hymn numbers are, but you don't have hymnals. But let's sing together. Oh, how he loves you and me.
He loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for sinners to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, marvelous, how wonderful, and life's own shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Well, as we gather tonight, Christ shows us his love by becoming a humble servant. And so I want to ask us to pray together the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Lord God, tonight as we continue in prayer, Lord, we acknowledge that our spirit has not always been that of Christ. Father, where we have failed to love one another as he loves, where we have pledged loyalty to him with our lips and then betrayed, deserted, or denied him. Lord God, forgive us, we pray. And by your Spirit, Lord, make us faithful in every time of trial. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, you alone are in a position to judge, to condemn, but you suffered. You gave yourself for us. You died for us. You were raised from the dead and ascended on high for us. And you continue to this day to intercede on our behalf. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we can say that we are forgiven. Oh, glory and praise to our Heavenly Father. Amen. But you're going to find that tonight we're going to read quite a bit of Scripture. It's one of the things that I want to just focus on tonight. Exodus chapter 12 is where we're going to start in our Scripture reading tonight. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." And I'm going to ask you to join me in reading, responsive reading. It's number 379 again in the hymnal, but you don't have a hymnal. It's from Psalm 116. If you'll read together the congregation section. "I love the Lord, for he heard my cry, my voice. He heard my cry for mercy.
Because he turned his ear
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me.
The Lord is gracious and righteous.
Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord protects the simple-hearted.
When I was in great need, He saved me.
Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death. And then from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, Paul writes these words. It is quoting Jesus. He says, For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And Maundy Thursday is the night that we celebrate the beginning. That was the very first of the Lord's Supper, when he gathered together with his disciples there in that upper room. Let's sing this song together, "The Foot of the Cross." At the foot of the cross, where grace and suffering meet, you have shown me your love through the judgment you receive, and you've won my heart. Yes, you won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown, coming to kiss the feet of mercy. I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, where I am made complete, you have given me life through the death you bore for me, and you won my heart. Yes, you won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown, coming to kiss the feet of mercy. I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. I trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown, coming to kiss the feet of mercy. I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. Don't hang on to the burdens that you have tonight. So lay him at the foot of the cross. And you won my heart. Yes, you won my heart. Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty, and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. Trade these ashes in for beauty, and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down. I lay every burden down. I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. Laying every burden down, laying every burden down. Again, some scripture from John chapter 13 for our text tonight. But I can't use that. I don't have the microphone that goes underneath of it. So that don't work. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." See how fickle Simon Peter is, because right after that he says, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. We've come together this evening to recall in our hearts and minds the events that occurred on Thursday of what the church calls Holy Week, the last week in the life of our Lord. A full one-third of all the events that we have about Jesus' life occur during this week. That alone should remind us and let us know how important this week is. The disciples have gathered in a home whose we aren't sure, but we do know that it had a furnished second floor. As they gather, they participate in what is called a Seder meal, one of the highlights of the Passover week. The Passover festival, of course, had been done for centuries before Jesus came on the scene. It commemorated that time when the Jews were in bondage to Egypt. We read about it earlier from the book of Exodus. Moses warned Pharaoh to let his people go, but Pharaoh hardened his heart, so God sent a death over the land of Egypt. But miraculously, this death passed over the homes of the Jews. So the season of Passover began. This was a celebration. Now, we often come in with a somber tone on Maundy Thursday because we know what happens on Friday. But when the Jews come together to celebrate a Seder supper, the gathering is great anticipation. It's an exciting time, and people of all ages participated in the meal. The meal itself was symbolic, reminding the Jews of the sufferings of their forefathers and the power of God's deliverance. The foods that were eaten were symbols to remind Jews of their captivity in Egypt. Everything they ate that night, from the applesauce with nuts and wine that was eaten to remind them of the brick and mortar, and to remind them of the fact that they were to make bricks without straw. They ate a bitter herb to remind them of the bitterness of their captivity. The bread has no leaven because it reminds them of how quickly it had to be put together. It was the symbolic Seder meal that Jesus and his disciples were partaking of that night in the upper room. And it was at the conclusion of that meal. Yeah, this is unheard of. It was at the conclusion of that meal that Jesus added two more symbols. He took a loaf and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup with wine and he drank from it and gave it to his disciples saying, "Drink from this all of you. For this is my blood which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." And so our sacrament of the Lord's Supper was born out of the experience of an ancient Jewish custom. The disciples gathered around the table that night in celebration of the Passover. Only Judas and Jesus had any idea what was about to happen. Maybe we can see ourselves in the disciples that had gathered with Jesus that night. Maybe we can see ourselves in Matthew. Here was a man who had a brilliant analytical mind, but who initially used it all for himself rather than for God. He became a tax collector. It was his responsibility to extract the tax money from his brothers in any way that he could. And that money went to support the Romans. the very people that were enslaving the Jews. These are the ones they believed would be overthrown by the Messiah when he came. Matthew's God, you could say, was gold. He reminds us of just how far many of us are willing to go to advance our own personal ambition. But when Matthew came over to Jesus, he came all the way. Now he was using that brilliant analytical mind to analyze the message of the Master. Now he was using his education to keep an account of the Master's teachings. Matthew reminds us that our talents are God-given, but we've got to choose to use them to the building of his kingdom, to make this world a better place by having been alive. And Matthew did just that. His gospel that bears his name contains Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and also contains a majority of Jesus' parables. The gospel of Matthew changed the world like few writings have ever done. Maybe you see yourself in Matthew giving your gifts to the Lord. Maybe we see ourselves in James and John. They remind us of the pride and the ego that's within us all. You see, it was their mother who went to Jesus to do their bidding for them. Now, I don't think she did that without their coaxing her to do so. She begged Jesus, "When you come into your kingdom, place my sons, one at your right hand and one on your left." Even on this occasion, as they sit around the table, the disciples are arguing amongst themselves which one is the greatest and who deserves the seat of honor at the table. James and John remind us that if we are to follow Jesus, we must first surrender our ego. We must decrease so he might increase in us.
Amen.
We must remember the words of Jesus, that he who would be greatest among you must be your servant. Maybe we see ourselves in Simon Peter, the one Jesus referred to as the rock. He was compulsive. He was quick to come to conclusions. And he had concluded that even if everybody else had abandoned Jesus, he would yet remain faithful. Yet before this night was over, he had denied even knowing Jesus 3 times. I'm sure we all can see ourselves in Thomas. Thomas would have fit in well in Missouri, as Missouri is known as the Show Me State. Like Thomas, we too look for proof, for something tangible that we can cling to when our experience of God begins to fail. We live in a cynical, prove it to me age. But Thomas would remind us that resurrection faith is not something that can be neatly wrapped up in a package. We can never possess faith as one would possess a thing. To follow the Master, we must be able to echo the words, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Or maybe you think of Andrew. It was his brother Simon Peter to Jesus. But he doesn't get near the notoriety that his brother does. He always lives under the shadow of his brother. He doesn't even enter into the inner circle. The inner circle is Peter, James, and John. But get this, it was Andrew that brought all three of them to Jesus. He had been fishing with them since they were boys. Andrew reminds us that if we're to follow the Master, we can't insist on having the limelight. Those who are truly in service will not worry about getting their recognition or notoriety. There will be times when we must defer to others in humility for the sake of unity. And then there's Judas. I know what you're thinking. Oh, I can relate to all these others, but I can't relate to Judas. As I was reading one more time tonight, it just came on me so heavy how not only did Judas know what he was doing, he had already met with the leaders, had already made the plans, but Jesus knew. John even points that out. He knew who it was that had betrayed him. And yet, now get this, yet, he knelt at Judas' feet with that basin of water. And he washed his feet. The very person that he knew was going to betray him. If we don't see Judas in ourselves, it's because we're not looking closely enough. Judas was so impatient with Jesus. He believed that Jesus really did have the power to bring about the kingdom of God, but he didn't understand why Jesus kept waiting. He would turn him over to the Jews and Romans. Judas would remind us that if we're to follow the Master, we must remember that our schedule is not always God's schedule. That our means are not always God's means. We see with the vision of the immediate. God sees with the vision of eternity. God knows. We only think we know. This evening, as we come to participate in this ancient sacrament of the church, but we may confess before God that we are in many ways like all the disciples, with all their frailties and all their weaknesses. We're just ordinary people. But I believe we're also like them in our sincere desire to follow Christ. My prayer is that through the sacrament this evening, that the power of God may instill in you a sense of mission and remind you who you are, a disciple of Christ. I'm going to ask you to come. And I've placed the elements here on the altars on either side. I ask you to come and receive. I know this is still awkward. This isn't the way we're used to this. As I said, at the end of the dinner, end of that supper, Jesus took the bread. It didn't look like this. But he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance that Christ gave his life for you." Then he drank from the cup. They had already drank from the cup several times that night. As part of the celebration of Passover, they would drink from it in a number of different places along the journey of that dinner. But now Jesus adds a new dimension when he says, "This cup now represents my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." Let's take and drink together in remembrance that Christ died for us and be thankful. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for his body and blood which was poured out on our behalf. And Lord, we thank you that as we celebrate this night, as we remember this night, that he loved us enough, loved his disciples enough, that he washed their feet, even Judas, who was going to betray him. And Lord, we have all failed you throughout our lives at different times. We ask you, Lord, now come and forgive us and heal us, cleanse us, make us after what you'd have us be. May we honor you and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want us to sing a song in response this evening. And we're not going to sing the whole song. We're going to sing the parts that are appropriate for a night like tonight. Let's sing together. To Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree, body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you that on this Maundy Thursday we're reminded of his body that was broken, his blood that was poured out for us. We ask you, Lord, as we enter into this most sacred weekend of the year, may we purposely take time to think and to contemplate and to meditate on just what it is that you've done for us. Lord, we ask that you go with us as we go from this place. May we honor and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I do just want to remind you in closing tonight that we will be having a sunrise service via live stream at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning. And then our Easter celebration at 10:40. We invite you all, those of you who are watching via live stream, we invite you all to come be a part of our service on Sunday at 10:40 as we come together to celebrate the risen Lord. God bless you as you go from this place. Amen.